meadows. I get home from work exhausted and starving. After pulling off my clothes and tossing them on the bed, I jump in the shower and rinse off in cool water, hoping to revive myself and maybe quell the intense horniness I've been feeling on my way home, thinking of you and impatient to have you return home from your business trip. I hate it when you're away for days at a time, even though we've only been seeing each other for a few weeks. I know we're not in a serious relationship yet. It's really all about sex at this point, and we both seem to agree on this. But I've gotten used to having you around. And when you call me at midnight and ask if you can come over, I always find myself getting hot even before you get there. You like coming over to my place, getting there quickly after a spontaneous phone call, and I think you even sense my anticipation and you smile when I greet you at the door naked or only wearing a silk shirt or a lacy slip. I like knowing I can call you and you'll be tempted to drop whatever you're doing to come over for some steamy sex. You don't even spend the night most of the time, but when you do decide to sleep there, you like to hold me close and make love again in the morning, telling me more than once that your morning hard-on is twice as nice when there's someone as sexy as me there to appreciate it. Oh, and I do appreciate it. You're one of those men with a beautiful cock, whether it's hard or soft or in between. You're my Grecian god, you're my Roman statue, you're my Pre-Raphaelite painting, your slender muscled body my own private work of art. I guess I'm prone to these flights of fancy, imagining you when you're not there, and I like to think my fantasies make the reality of you that much more sensual and memorable, storing up sensations for the next time I know we're going to be together. So for the moment, I'm thinking of you. As I finish up in the shower, longing for the sight of you in my bed, naked and hard and waiting for me to join you. But when I dry off with a towel and go into the bedroom, there's nothing there on the bedspread but my work clothes. I sigh and slip into a comfy linen robe. I guess I'll have to think of something else. And I realize again how hungry I am. It was a hectic day, and lunch was a cup of coffee and a cup of instant soup. Cooking for one is something I'm used to. But I am wishing you were here so we could get some takeout and gobble it down after we worked up an appetite, making love on the sofa or sometimes even the floor because we can't be bothered to make the trek to the bedroom. I try to think of what to prepare to satisfy my hunger. A salad? Some pasta? Some frozen thing popped in the microwave? Nothing sounds good, and yet my stomach has a gnawing sensation and I'm feeling a bit lightheaded. I look at the bowl of apples on the table and realize suddenly I have this incredible craving for meat. The craving's so intense it hits me like a blow and I can think of nothing else. How it looks and especially how it feels and tastes on my tongue and in my mouth. Just the thought of it makes me even hungrier and, strangely, hornier. Okay, since I can't really have the meat that I'm after, I'll make do with the next best thing, an Angus steak. I go into the kitchen and grab an 8-ounce steak from the freezer. I fill up the sink with hot water to defrost it quickly so I can get it onto the broiler. I pour myself a glass of red wine, sipping slowly so I don't get too drunk on an empty stomach. I go into the living room to pass the time while the steak thaws. I decide to sit down and watch some TV, thinking maybe I can distract myself from thoughts of you, the scent of your hair and the feel of your body and the sound of your voice. All of which are 100 miles away in some air-conditioned hotel that you always say you find too cold. I grab the remote and the first thing that appears on the TV is some old Audrey Hepburn and Cary Grant movie. Charade? Oh great, a romance. Oh well, I guess it's better than porn at this point. I sit there and I watch these impossibly beautiful, sophisticated actors playing at being flawed, romantic characters who are struggling to make their love affair work. And I realize they just don't make movies like they used to. I wish I could tilt my chin in that subtle, bewitching way Audrey has, making men like Cary Grant fall at my feet. I keep the sound off because the sound of Audrey and Cary would probably make me even more tense just now, and probably hornier too. I know that sounds weird, but those two slay me. They have such impeccable timing and such great voices. I put some mellow jazz on stereo, and it relaxes me a bit, but I'm still looking at Audrey and Carrie, and still thinking of you, trying to keep my hands out of my crotch and toying with my glass of wine and willing the steak to thaw so I can tear into it as soon as possible. As I watch the film and envy Audrey's impeccable wardrobe and Carrie's animal grace, admiring the way they flirt with each other wordlessly, its romance 1960s style, all innuendo and smoldering looks, and the strains of Duke's mellow horn lull me into a state of relaxation tinged with growing frustration. I realize I'd better get dinner going because my craving for meat is stronger than ever. I go to the sink and decide that the steak is thawed enough for me to broil it. It helps if you broil a steak while it's still a bit frozen. That way it comes out juicy in the middle even if you cook it a bit too long. I hate meat that isn't juicy. I take a very sharp serrated knife, pierce the corner of the plastic covering the steak, and run the blade alongside it to remove the packaging carefully. I hold the steak under cold water to rinse it and then place it on a small plate so I can transfer it to the broiler without making too much of a mess. Have you ever been so horny that you get really precise with ordinary tasks because if you don't exert supreme self-control, you might end up throwing things? Yeah, that's where I was at. So I tried to stay focused on the task of making dinner and hoping I would satisfy at least one craving before the night was over. I stand at the counter and grab some aluminum foil and place a sheet of it on the broiler. Then I turn it on so the broiler will get nice and hot while I prepare the meat. I get some extra virgin olive oil from the pantry, thinking I'll season the steak lightly beforehand. I remove the cap and pour about a tablespoon or so of oil into the palm of my right hand. I pick up the steak in my left hand and slowly massage the oil into the meat, enjoying the feel of it in my hands as I make sure the entire steak is bathed in oil. I place the meat on the platter and grind some black pepper onto it, opening the broiler to place the steak on the pan. Then, as an afterthought, I see a jar of rosemary, and it reminds me of you. The time you commented on the way I ground it by hand in the mortar and pestle that I keep near the stove, the way you smiled at the way I took a moment to prepare a simple meal for us after an evening of vigorous lovemaking left us weak and ravenous. I sprinkle some rosemary into the mortar and grind it a few times so I can sprinkle some on the steak, knowing it will taste savory and delicious with the oil and pepper. My hands are still covered with oil, and it will be tricky to clean up now, but the scent of the rosemary and the warmth of my fingers, slick with oil, make me think of you, and before I get too distracted, I slip the pan of steak under the hot flame of the broiler. I wipe my hands on a paper towel, then run some warm water over them and dry them lightly on a cloth towel, sniffing their herby fragrance that, again, reminds me of the last time I saw you and the last time your scent enveloped me. I glance at the clock on the wall and make a mental note to check the steak in about 8 minutes. I bring the bottle of Merlot into the living room to top up my glass and return to the sofa. Audrey's wearing a sweet pink suit with a matching hat, and Carrie looks beside himself with barely contained old-school lust. Damn, he's suave. I realize I'm growing fainter with hunger by the minute, and I start picturing you and me in silly romantic fantasies tinged with intrigue, all filterless cigarettes and martinis and smartly tailored suits and Henry Mancini. I can smell the steak as it starts to sizzle and it brings me back to reality. My mouth begins to water as I think about getting that meat in my mouth. It's been a while since I had a good steak. I go to the broiler and turn the steak to the other side, then come back to Audrey and Carrie. They're standing in a doorway and she's continuously kissing him as he pretends to try to leave. Yeah, right, like any man can walk away from Audrey Hepburn dressed in pink, with her soft, dewy Parisian lips thrust forward, quivering and slightly parted, her huge cocoa-colored eyes moist with emotion. I watch these classy lovers kiss with tender abandon, my chest feeling hot and hollow, and a tingling sensation spreading between my legs. At this point, I retreat to the kitchen to get my steak, leaving Audrey and Carrie to their passionate entanglement. Damn, I hate romantic movies when I'm this horny. I turn into a walking demographic of single woman in her late 30s who buys too many bodice ripper novels in the grocery store. I enter the kitchen and the steak is inviting me to devour it as soon as possible, judging from the sound of its sizzling. Eat me, it's saying, and since I can't nibble on your neck or bite your shoulders or run my tongue alongside your thigh or any number of things I could do to your body with my mouth, I settle for finally eating some dinner. I pull the steak out from under the broiler and deeply inhale the rich aroma. Now my mouth is really watering. I place the meat on a plate and pick up the serrated knife. I slowly slice the steak open, enjoying myself as I'm cutting into its flesh. Juice spills from it and pools on the plate. Before I can stop myself, I take my index finger and dip it into the juice. I place my finger into my mouth and lick off the juice with my tongue. It tastes so good, I suck until the last drop is gone. I finish cutting the steak into pieces and return to the couch with my plate. As I sit down, I realize I've forgotten to bring a fork with me. Oh well, I'm comfortable on the couch and I don't really want to get up again at the moment, so I decide to eat it with my hands. Audrey and Carrie are still there, satisfying their own mysterious hungers in their inimitable way. I am glad to have them as dinner companions. I pick up the first piece of meat, anticipation making my saliva flow. The steak is hot and I burn my fingers slightly, which somehow doesn't really bother me. I place the morsel on my tongue and let it sit there for a moment. I sigh and close my eyes as the taste flows over my entire mouth. The warmth of the meat causes a pleasant sensation that starts to travel through the rest of my body. As the juice from the meat begins to trickle down my throat, I begin to suck on the bite of steak, waiting to get all the flavor I can from each piece before I swallow. It tastes incredible, sublime, the feeling of my intense hunger finally starting to abate somewhat, but making me all the more greedy to devour the meat in its entirety. I roll the steak around in my mouth, biting, sucking, and eventually swallowing. Before picking up the next piece, I lick my fingers to get every drop of juice. I realize I have only two pieces of it left. Where did it all go so quickly? I pick one up with my fingers and slip it into my mouth, rubbing it over my open lips first. The combination of fantasizing about you and watching Audrey Hepburn and Cary Grant and the sensual experience of the steak and has all made me hotter faster than I would have believed possible, and I realize I can feel the juices flowing between my legs, mirroring the flow of juices from the meat. I savor the last bite, put the plate on the table, and begin to lick the last remaining juices from my fingers. As I watch Audrey and Carrie share one final steamy kiss, the credits start to roll, and my fingers find their way down my thighs to my moist pussy. Gently, I touch my clit and begin to rub. My hand starts rubbing faster and faster, making round, luscious circles as I become wetter. And as I become more and more aroused, I put one and then two fingers into my vagina and press hard. The pulsing in my groin is constant now, deep, and I know that I'm about to come. My breathing comes faster and faster, my thighs tense in anticipation. As I hold my breath, an intense orgasm washes over me and I cry out aloud and release. My hand moves more slowly as the orgasm slowly melts away. I am sated. As I sit there slightly slumped over and catching my breath, the phone rings. I know it's you. Hello, I say, my voice husky. I can hear your amusement. What have you been doing? You ask slyly. Eating dinner and thinking of you, I say. You chuckle softly. Me too, you say. Then your voice lowers and it is as if your lips are right next to my ear as you speak again. You ready for dessert?